Hey everyone, this is Jessica Nevins, your host for the Divine It Girl Radio Show. Welcome. We are so happy to have you back. And you know what? It's another fabulous week of Invoking the Muse, and we are heading into part four. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we've gotten so far so quickly. And I am so excited to introduce to you our guest for today, Marianne McGuire. Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Jessica.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to talk to you and your listeners.
I'm so excited to have you here today. I know the listeners are just going to gain so much information from you. I just know it. For all of you listening out there, let me give you a little bit of a background on Marianne. Marianne McGuire is the creator of Let Go and Know, How to Let Go of Struggle and Know Who You Really Are. She invites seekers to discover who they really are, their deeper destiny, by connecting to and living from the light, from awareness, so that they can stand in their power, express their truth, and finally live the fulfilling life they long to live. Oh, that's exactly what our listeners are looking for.
Yay!
Yay! So welcome to the show, Marianne. Marianne has just an amazing story. And Marianne's story starts when she was really young, I think 6 years of age. Is that correct, Marianne?
Yes. Jessica, and yes. I would love to give you some background, if I may, so that the listeners can feel secure about my work, fabulous, and how it can benefit them. This one particular experience did stand out for me when I was around six, but I do remember even being a baby, and I remember being awareness. I can remember standing in my cot. I remember being the same as I am now, except without the level of conditioning and thoughts. I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. But when I was around 6 years of age, I did have a profound spiritual experience. And I remember standing on my own in the kitchen of my childhood home. And I became aware of a knowing that appeared to me, so to speak. It seemed to be situated above me while also being everywhere. And it flowed through my being. And I knew the truth behind this reality. I knew that there's something so far beyond this physical reality, so inexplicably beautiful, even beyond our idea of heaven, and that it's all around us and within us. And I knew that this physical reality where we live our everyday lives was only the tiniest part of what is true. And this, by the way, is why I know that the key to a beautiful, amazing life of freedom is to place your attention on this truth, on your light, and no longer on the struggle. So I accepted that this experience was just a total part of me. It wasn't separate from me. And so it was never out of the norm for years and years and years. And I experienced pure awareness, and it was more real than I could describe. It went far, far, far beyond words and linear concepts. And, of course, I wasn't able to express it in words back then. It was something I felt, and only when I got older was I able to express it in words. But what I knew then, what was revealed to me was, love is all there is, everything is possible, beauty surrounds everything, and we'd be awestruck if we could comprehend the truth of it. Linear time doesn't exist. Now remember, you can't think this, you have to feel it. I felt this, I didn't have the words for it at six, I couldn't articulate it. But linear time doesn't exist, the past and the future aren't actually real, there's only now. And I knew that the past, present, and future all happened in the present moment, and that there's only one eternal moment. And that this physical realm, so to speak, is not real. It's an image coming from what is real, which is awareness, oneness, love. Only love is real. And let me tell you, this realization, when I became an adult, I realized this can really take the weight off. Heavy emotions, anxiety, fear, doubt, they seem so real. But when you realize this, you can begin to allow your true self to shine through. And then lastly, what I knew that day, beyond duality lies freedom. So it was as if when I asked, when I was way much, much older, I asked, how? I didn't understand it. How did I know this when I didn't have the words to articulate it? And instantly, my guides said, my ageless being experienced it, and the child I was witnessed it. And I never forgot. Thank God I always remembered, because it's part of my mission now. So similar experiences happened again over the years. Divine love, oneness, isn't a concept for me. And as I say, I cherish this now because I appreciate that it's pure information. I wasn't taught it. I hadn't heard it or read it before. And it's facilitating my mission to nudge women in particular into remembrance of the magnificence of who they really are, so that they can live from freedom and ease and peace and joy and live the life they were born to live. And I mean actually do this, not as a concept. So later on, as happens with everybody, I was conditioned. And I'll call it suspended rather than lost my power. And I came from a very, very strict background. I wasn't allowed to express myself. I had a very dominant father. And even though I love my family very much, I was not received by them. So I know intimately what struggle feels like.
Yes.
And I went through 20-odd years of studying, reading, doing courses. I suppose I was looking for what I knew all along, maybe trying to touch that experience that I had as a child and had been covered over by the conditioning. And also, I went into art. I studied history of art. I went into fine art and auctioneering. I became a painter.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, see, I'm looking all
along. That's why we have her here. She not only has an amazing message, but she is a painter, so a fine artist.
Yeah, I mean, the connection is just amazing when I look back over it. I suppose all along, or thinking about this recently, I was looking for the light through art. I was looking for the light that I've experienced. I was looking for truth and beauty through art. So one day after, we're talking more than 20 years, I stopped. I kind of had enough seeking. Yeah, I just stopped everything. I'd had enough seeking, and I asked this question of my guides. I said, after all of this time, after all of the study and seeking and experimenting that I've been doing for 2 decades, what is the most important thing we can do to be happy in life, to find what we're looking for? And in that moment, I received the answer from the sea of awareness. And it was, let go of struggle and know who you really are. And the specific way that I was to help people using my childhood experience was born. So it all happened beautifully. And as I look back, I can see the value of having the personal experience of both states. I have the foundation from my childhood spiritual experience, this knowing, rock-solid knowing, and I have the experience of what it feels like to struggle, to feel as if you're perpetually swimming against the tide of life. So I received a download about this and all the information that is now the 3 Stages of Awareness program. And there were 3 amazing tools that I received over a course of time. One of them is the heart of my work, and I feel it's what everybody's looking for. It's called fall back. And it's where struggle is surrendered and who you really are shines through every part of your being. And in that moment, it's as if the struggle never existed. And what I call your deeper destiny is to live from this space. So, for example, this beautiful tool can be used. It's just this beautiful divine surrender, and it's beyond words, and it's unbelievably simple. I mean, we're talking beyond simple because we all like to complicate everything. This is incredibly, it's like, but how? Even I got tripped up on it after I did it because I was complicating it. So, I mean, for example, yesterday I fell back. Before this show, I wanted to tune into the listeners. I wanted something to come up that was special and could really benefit them. And when you fall back, this inspiration comes and it feels, my God, incredible scintillating peace because it's who you really are. And I received for your listeners this, because we're talking about the muse. Inspiration is a living energy that desires to express itself through you. Create delight for it by allowing it to do so. And I just thought that was so exciting because I could totally feel it and I could see the connection. This isn't a concept. It's real, and you can tap into it before you do anything, before you live your life, any aspect of your life, you know, relationships, money, health, but also before you create a work of art, before you paint, before you dance, before you do anything. So I think the main thing is to get out of your own way and play. This is where it gets so simple. Just play. Be like
true.
A child.
It's very true.
Isn't it so true? We absolutely have to be as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes. Feel an inner and an outer smile. Let go and know. And allow it. Celebrate it. Have fun. And very, very, very important, don't think. Feel. Feel with your body. Oh, my God. I'll give you a funny example. When you do this, you allow the magic to flow.
Yes.
I mean, when I got out of my way, I remember this came into my mind. One of the most beautiful pieces of art that I ever made, I totally got out of my own way. It was totally accidental. I painted it with a pair of knickers. Panties. You call them panties, right?
Oh, I can hardly wait to hear this story. This is a good one.
I just picked it up. I was using them as a rag, right? And I got out of my own way. I didn't realize at the time because I was younger than I am now because I've been painting for 20 years, you know, spent more. And I picked it up, and I knew something was trying to come through me. I've studied history of art. I know what tools to use. I had all the palette knives and the brushes and everything. It's not like, you know, I was finger painting or anything.
Right.
Although that'd be fun, too. And something just came through me. I picked it up and was like, all over the canvas. And it already had paint on it. And I looked at it, and I could not believe it. I had barely anything to do. A tiny bit of shading. And it was stunningly beautiful. It was and it wasn't
oh,
even an abstract
wow.
scene. It was a scene of a forest. It wasn't even abstract, because most of my work is abstract.
Uh-huh.
And I could not believe it. And I wasn't expecting it. It was totally accidental, and it was magical. But I got out of my own way. Do you know what's going on that's so exciting? What's actually happening, and this is the connection between, well, it's not between my work, because my work is everybody's. It's truth, if I may, because it's who we really are. You allow your higher self into your body, really, and then who you really are creates. But I didn't think, oh, I'm going to pick up a pair of knickers now and do a painting. It just happened. So you can almost, here we go.
I just love that. See, it can come through in any form. Don't put
exactly.
a limit on it.
Exactly. Forget your paintbrushes. But you can draw your higher self in to your body, because some people feel outside of themselves or they're too much in their head. Draw yourself into your body. And then you can fall back. This beautiful surrender. Give up. You know, the struggle. I'm not good enough. Oh, my God, it won't come. The muse won't come to me. I'll fail again. I haven't got a good painting for ages. Let it all go and allow it to be. Big deep breath, just as I say, an inner and an outer smile, and let it happen. And it's absolutely magical. So that's the glorious connection between both. It's so funny that it happened that way with the art and the let go and know, you know, the mission I have in life now. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
It's interesting how the muse will, at least this is my experience, will use all kinds of different avenues to bring you on track to divine destiny.
Yeah.
You know, I was just sharing with Marianne before we hopped on here that this show started as just a little inkling. You know, twinkle in my eye, so to speak. I remember telling my brother about it and saying, yeah, I think that'd be really cool, and coming up actually with the idea for this interview series. That's what spurred it. I thought, oh, I could have a show and I could do this interview series and I could invite, you know, these people and we could talk about the creative process, and I think that'd be really cool, because there's so much surrender that goes into any type of creative work, and it's not limited to the arts. It can be building your business. You know, maybe you're a scientist and you're working on a project and, you know, you have a breakthrough. Maybe you can use creativity to approach it in a different way. And, you know, there, you know, maybe an accountant can do the same thing. It's amazing how it can unfold in several different ways. And this show for me just unfolded. I just followed the little divine breadcrumbs. You know, I always talk about on this show, I talk about divinely inspired action and divine downloads. And I just took them and I followed them. And I really did it in a sense of trust because I had no idea how I would get to here. And it's kind of amazing how when you let go, it just happens. And it's more effortless than you could ever even fathom. Is that your experience, Marianne?
Absolutely. I agree entirely. It's the effortlessness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I almost feel the women I work with, I almost have to warn them because I did this too. We just complicate things. It's like we cannot accept that it's this simple, but it is this simple, and we know it's this simple. I mean, when I look back, when I was very young, because I started my search, and I became a painter at 18.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, but it's the exact same time I started my spiritual search, so to speak. You know, I was looking for what I felt I'd lost touch with, the spiritual experience as a child. And I can see, though, do you know what's really interesting? I can see that my search for beauty and truth in art was the same as my search for my guides. I could call it spirituality, but in particular, it was my spirit guides. I had this thing, and I was looking for them, looking for them, looking for them. I was looking for them. I always wanted to connect with them, you know? I knew they were there, but I needed evidence.
Okay, so, which, you know, a lot of us do in the beginning stages. It's that we want the cold, hard facts. We want the evidence.
Yeah.
We want to see it. You know, there's no trust yet. It's like, come on, show me the results.
Yeah, but it was a yearning as well. I was really,
yes.
It was a sadness in my heart. I ached for it, you know. I just wanted the, little did I know. I mean, I know now that there is no separation, but I didn't quite realize it then. So I searched and I searched, but that creates a kind of a pushing energy and struggle and resistance. It's resistance.
Yes.
And there can be no flow. And so anything in life, you need flow, and especially in creativity as well. And as you so rightly pointed out, we're not just talking about creating a painting or choreographing a piece. It's anything, like, for example, raising your children. Or if you manage a team, you know, even if you're in corporate, if you manage a team, there's creativity behind everything running your business, you know. So when I stopped seeking outside of myself for inspiration and for fulfillment, everything changed. And now I'm at one with myself and my source, and I'm instantly able to connect with divine love and receive inspiration from there. Because this is so exciting, right?
Yes, it is tremendously exciting. I agree.
It really is. To reference, so that there's a flow, I have three tools, excuse me, in my work. One I call light writing. And this is where you connect with and ask questions from a space of light and receive answers and awarenesses from the light. But you see, this light comes from the same place as inspiration does. In as much as it's in art or any creativity, inspiration is also in your spiritual experience, your everyday life, the face of your child, how you appreciate the fragrance of a rose. The muse is the inspiration that flows from beingness. It's your own truth, your own light. You're not separate from it. That's the point I'm trying to make. You're not separate from it. We feel we have to reach out and, you know, well, invoke it. But we're not separate from it. It's part of who we really are. That is just so comforting to me.
I agree. And, you know, you see little glimmers. You know, I talked about the glimmer for this show, but there's other little glimmers that you can experience in daily life that might seem like they're no big deal to you. Like you get an inspiration to go to take a walk on a different path. And you go with it, and then you end up meeting someone that introduces you to someone else that, you know, can either be, you know, introduce you to a new client or a new business opportunity, or maybe, you know, to a new close friend or to your mate or whatever. It's amazing how inspiration works. It's not just isolated to, you know, these big grand ideas and destiny. And it could put you in line for destiny, but it could also lead you to having a tremendous experience in the moment.
Absolutely. And that's one thing, I agree entirely, Jessica. That's one thing that I feel quite strongly about, purpose. I do, you know, I do have a way of finding what your purpose is in the course, and that's very important. But sometimes somebody listening in, their purpose right now is to hear this conversation. That's their purpose for now. It's like it can be divided into smaller purposes as you live your everyday life. And then, to explain, because I don't think I did, what I call your deeper destiny, that is an extension of that, whereas yes, you have your life purpose, and yes, you can share your gifts with the world and make wonderful money being who you really are and helping other people in the process. But even beyond that, and in addition to it, your deeper destiny is that extended state of fallback. It's when you connect with who you really are and be. You live your life from there. That, I feel, is your destiny. So you need a balance between both purpose and destiny. And it can be the smallest, simplest thing. Beingness, being out, staring at the grass, doing nothing. You know, beingness, it's that connection, that beautiful, beautiful state of peace that you feel and that comes over you when you fall back into who you really are. You fall back into those welcoming arms. You fall back into love, which is fundamentally at the heart of everything.
Yeah, there's a state of allowance that comes with that, where you have to really be in an allowing state. I just, as you were talking about this and thinking about how magical this kind of experience can be, but back when I worked in corporate, you know, finding the daily magic wasn't exactly easy because I was, you know, working for someone else. I was working with deadlines, and for any of you that have worked out in corporate, and I'm sure Marianne, you can relate to this, you know, it's a big deadline and you have to hit it or else, you know, you're not going to be in favor with your boss or whoever, or, you know, whatever it may be. And there's just this sense of go, go, go and push, push, push. And it's almost the opposite of how we're supposed to be living our lives. At least that's my opinion. Because I know that the times when I've owned my own businesses and I've been in flow, it's been a much more magical experience for me. Yeah. And things just come more easily. And it's not so rigid, and it's not so demanding, and it's not so you have
and
to
more
stay
feminine.
In this
That's
box.
When you're in your feminine.
What was that?
That's when you're in your feminine energy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I think that also, you know, for men out there that are listening, instead of just constantly doing, which is the male energy, if you can get into balance where you can allow things to happen instead of making it happen constantly, it can lead to more of a flow in your life.
Absolutely.
Because I think that we're seeing a rise of that, actually, on the planet with, you know, men being able to take a step back and really allow things to happen, which sometimes can feel really strange, especially when, you know, we've had this very masculine paradigm on this planet for such a long time now, where everything's like do, 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 go, 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 go. And I am all for taking action, but I have learned that taking inspired action, divinely inspired action, is much more effective and much more important than just taking action for the sake of taking action.
You can't fail. It's impossible.
Right.
When you take inspired action, it's just not possible because you're tapping into your truth.
Yes.
Will never lead you astray. If it feels, you know the way it feels, there's this beautiful lightness. Your truth, it feels light, just as when, if something isn't, you know, if you have a choice to make and something feels very heavy to you, well, that's a really very clear sign that you could reconsider. So if you always choose the lighter path and if you always go with your intuition, you can never fail. And sometimes people, they're like, well, what, how do I know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you always know
it's
your
a
intuition.
That's a common question I get, yes.
Yeah, you always know your intuition by the nature of the communication, that it's always a quiet, subtle, still, loving voice, whereas the other is the voice of the ego. You always know the voice of the ego. So people do know. They think they don't, but they absolutely do, and they should just claim the fact that they know and allow.
Just claim that you know.
Yeah.
Actually, there is power in that, though. There is power in claiming that you know. I know in the past I used to, excuse me, I used to look outside of myself for answers constantly. And I got to a point where I was consistently shown that that wasn't the answer. So when I turned inward and I really got more acquainted with my system of understanding, then I realized that I could potentially have all the answers come to me.
Yay!
Yes. So, and that's the thing, is I think that people often underestimate their power. They underestimate the fact that they can do that and that they can actually call in their answers. Because when I started chanting, I have the answers within me. They're given to me. They're here. Then they'd show up. it's like invoking the muse. You can call the muse in just the way you can call your answers in.
People don't understand. I'm sorry to say, especially women. Because, you know, I was raised, I mean, I felt like a second-class citizen. You know, it was very different for the males. But it is all about judgment as well, and we judge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even back to the art, now I fall back before I create something. If I have an important conversation to have, anything, my work, anything, oh, my God, you don't even need a reason. You just do it. It's so delicious and gorgeous. But anyway, if I'm creating a work of art or whatever it is, I will fall back. But when I was younger, I'd resist, and I didn't allow enough. Now, sometimes I did, but I'm kind of underlining, you know, when I didn't. Because I thought, oh, maybe it won't work. And I'd keep wiping out the canvas. And I would resist it because I was worried that maybe I'd lost the muse, so to speak. But don't get stuck in judgment. Because when I let go, when I fell back as I got older, when I let go of resistance, it always came. It's inevitable. Please, 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 just fall back and know it'll always come. You will never feel bereft or lost again when you know this is available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? With the painting, for example, if it wasn't beautiful the first time, I had faith that it would come. And because I had faith, it did come. And much, much sooner, because I wasn't delaying it. And I started to accept that connection to beingness or my higher self is always present when I am, when I'm present. And it would always appear. Something you might never normally do, and you would birth it as the light comes through you. You're connecting with the light, and it's coming through you. So fall back before you do anything creative or anything at all. And fall back just for the sake of it, because, again, it's who you really are. Just don't resist the process of creating or living, be that raising your child, running your business, whatever it is, in an effort to control it. When you fall back, you make your life a masterpiece. And remember something I call pure choice. Just like we were saying before, Jessica, choose that it will appear and make it so.
Yes.
I used to do that with poetry as well, because I'm a writer as well. And I'm like, wow, where did that come from? This is so beautiful. So my, you know, part of my message is you're so powerful. You're so powerful. Choose that it will appear and make it so. And there it is. Magic unfolds before you.
Now, I know, and it's funny because I think in the past I had heard spiritual teachers say similar things, and I was like, what? Huh? So, Marianne, what would you tell our listeners how they can get to their present moment? What techniques have you used to get you to present moment awareness? Because sometimes, you know, a lot of people get caught in their past. You know, their mind is just, they're thinking over and over about the past.
Exactly.
Or they're obsessing about the future, and they're not in their present moment awareness. So can you give our listeners some guidance on your experience has been in getting present?
I can give you a technique.
Oh, fantastic.
It's just so simple. I use it all the time. But before that, you know, you did mention it. We spend too much time in our minds. See,
yes.
I found that all the studying and the reading and experimenting that I was doing was adding to a state of perpetual seeking and figuring out. And this is what brought me to falling back. And you're absolutely right. You're falling back into divine love. But you're falling back into presence, into who you really are, because you are presence. You are the present moment. It's not something that you reach outside of yourself. You are it. And when you close your eyes and when you allow yourself to get out of your mind and into your heart, into your body, allow yourself to expand out, you can feel that because the struggle falls away. And that's what happened originally when I fell back for the first time after years of climbing to get the answer. And I was beyond free. I'd melted into my own being. And Jessica, you just do it. You do it. You're struggling. Stop. Give yourself permission to stop, even if it's only for 1 minute. Get out of your mind. Get into your body. And allow yourself to surrender everything. Surrender. Stop right now. It's beyond simple. This is who you truly are. It's waiting. Who you truly are, the way I can feel it, it's behind, if you know what I mean. Funny thing to say, but I feel that it's behind the conditioning and the thoughts. It's almost like layering in front of you. And when you fall back away from the conditioning and the thoughts, you don't have to do anything, by the way. Young children are doing this all the time. Animals are always present. This is your natural state. You just allow it. And it comes, and you will feel it, and you will laugh at how much you've been getting in your own way. You'll just laugh. That's what happened to me. So what I do, and what the listeners can do, very simple. No, please, you can do this for anything. We're not just talking about creating, being creative or works of art or anything. Simply, and there's a whole, I could really talk for hours on this, but I won't. You don't really need to know the structure behind it all, but if you do it, it's beautiful. If you put your hand on your heart, there's a sacred spot at the back of your heart that has to do with oneness. Because the brain has to do with duality, the two hemispheres, but this has to do with oneness. Just put your hand on your heart. So when you're caught in a moment of struggle, or just before you want to create something, whatever it is, put your hand on your heart and acknowledge what's happening. Just acknowledge, okay, I'm really feeling frustrated right now, or I've got this sadness, I don't want to know about it. You can feel it in your heart. No, don't resist it. Just let go and acknowledge whatever it is that you're feeling. That's just the first little thing you can do. Second little thing you can do has to do with love. Love the part of yourself that's feeling that way. Part of yourself that's feeling the self-doubt, the I'm not good enough, whatever it is. You don't have to love the fear or the anxiety. Just love the part of yourself that's feeling that way. And then you've primed yourself for the third little step, which is to fall back. Just surrender. You can do it. You can do this. It's very, 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 very simple. Surrender to who you really are, to beingness, to divine love. And remember, that's where inspiration comes from. And when you do this, you are in the expanded state of truth from where you can do anything. in a beautiful, truthful way that feels so good, then you can create your work of art. Then you can let go of struggle. Then you can have that conversation or make that choice or be with your children, whatever it is. It's very, very simple. And you can do that while you're inside, if you have access to outside as well. As often as you can, go out into nature, be with animals, be with small children. If you want to know what presence is, they will remind you. They will remind
very
you.
True.
Yeah, so beautiful. I have horses. And I have regular horses, and I also look after neglected horses. And I've been doing that for years. And I go out in the morning very early, and I ground myself when it's not too cold. And mm-hmm. But just being with them is instantly I'm present. Just by being with them, don't have to do anything. Animals in general have a way of, it's like a resonance. It's like a transmission,
yes,
of presence. If you're really having a bad day and it's just like, oh God, I forgot the technique, I didn't write it down, just go out in nature, be with an animal. And when you're a little bit closer to, you know, more being yourself, then, you know, maybe write down these three really, really simple points. Hand on heart, acknowledge what's happening. Acknowledge it. Don't resist it. The worst thing you can do is to resist what's going on. And because then people say, oh, but the law of attraction, I'm going to have morbid in my life. No, you won't. Just relax. It's like, you know, these emotions of anxiety and fear, they're like children screaming at you. And what do people do? They abandon them. They turn their back on them. They reject them. Don't, please don't do that. These are just unloved parts of yourself. Totally understandable that you would do that, but perhaps you could consider, if I may, not doing that anymore, giving yourself a huge gift. And love that part of you that feels that way. Then, when the resistance is gone, and there's this loosening of energy, it's like an unraveling of that tight, tight, contracted energy, then you're in a position to become present. Then you can fall back into presence. Oh my God, it's just so gorgeous. I'm doing it now and I'm just getting shivers all over me.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
the same experience I had. I was like, woo, I love this.
Woo! It's just divine, and it's so simple. I don't want any of you for a moment to think, oh, it's just us, or, you know, because we work in a, you know, spiritual field, so to speak. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's you listening right now. It's you. You're beautiful. You're magnificent beyond belief. My God, if you could only perceive a fraction of your magnificence, you would just fall down. So there you go.
and it's so true. And I love that process. And here's the thing, is that listeners out there are going to be like, oh, I don't like this, but it's true, is we all have responsibility over our lives. So in any moment, we can choose our way of being. So if you are having an uncomfortable feeling, you can either choose to resist it, like Marianne was saying, or you can choose to love it, like she was saying. We all have choices. I mean, you have a choice in every second, really, on how you're going to embrace something, how you're going to integrate something, how you're going to love something.
That's huge. It is a huge point that you're making, because what happens with everybody, most people, they live from their conditioning.
That's exactly
choices.
It. And we run programs that haven't served us our entire lives. And the thing is, we've picked up these programs not necessarily from something that we've created. We've picked them up through osmosis. We've picked them up from our families. We've picked them up from society. We've picked them up from teachers in school. There's a variety of ways that we've picked up programs. And if you pick them up as a child, they just run and run and run.
Yeah.
You know, without any
kind of
delineation that this isn't healthy. There's no distinction there until you get older and you're like, why do I have that belief?
Yeah.
Doesn't serve me. That's odd.
Okay.
You know, once you get to the awareness part of it, you're able to uncover it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of blind spots that all of us have. You know, there's programs running that you know, will come up for clearing when you're ready.
that's where awareness comes into it. Like my program, the three stages of awareness, the first part is becoming aware, second part is connecting with awareness, and the third part is living from awareness. And when you become aware, because I went through all of this, because what happened to me, I was downloaded with all the information for the program, and then I went through it and I embodied it, because I had to do that before I could share it with anybody else.
That's how it works.
Oh, dear God. Oh, yes. My God. And so I can save them years and years of work and discomfort. And, oh, God. But anyway, that's a different story. But I remember during that one of those phases, I realized when I became aware, I was living by my father's rules a lot of the time. Oh, God. Not what I wanted. That was a huge awareness for me. Now, not all of the time, because I'm very free and I do my own thing and I live my own way, but there were a few areas of my life. I'm like, oh my God, this is not my choice. I'm living by his rules, no way. And so with love and gratitude for, you know, what our parents give to us, you know, it may be a gift wrapped in sandpaper, I let that go. Gee, thanks. Repeat for that. But I let all of that go, and life changes. So awareness is crucial, and oh my goodness, choice, 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 choice. Choice is huge because you're so powerful. People don't realize that they actually have the power of choice. It's a funny thing to say because it's like, yeah, of course I do. What are you talking about? But choosing instantaneously, not so much. People don't want to take the responsibility. It's like, that's too much responsibility for me, you know?
It's amazing.
Huge point, though.
It's amazing how that happens, and it's amazing how all kinds of excuses can fly in and all kinds of justifications, and, you know, when it really comes down to it, no, we're all responsible. You can have the greatest excuse in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be effective in your unfolding.
Yeah. And also, you have to be very gentle. We do have to be gentle on ourselves.
You
can't
really
just be, come on, crack the whip. We have to be very, very, very gentle with ourselves. You know, choose now.
No. Yeah, that definitely, no, that doesn't, that technique doesn't work.
No, that's not going to work
at all.
Now, well, this comes back to the loving the parts of you that feel, because we can feel, you have to acknowledge, oh, my God, I'm not scared. I'm feeling really vulnerable, you know. Acknowledge that, oh, my God, self-love and trust. I'm sure you've heard it a million times, but, and I mean real self-love, it could be a tough old lesson. And then trust, and trusting yourself. Yes, trusting God, trusting your source, but trusting yourself. Of course, they're one and the same, but, you know, trusting yourself and not letting fear get in the way as well. Because I actually remember, God, how many years ago? I don't know. The day I realized that fear was an illusion. I'm talking about psychological fear. I'm not talking about the fear that keeps you safe. You embrace that. You say, thank you very much for keeping me safe. I'm talking about psychological fear. You know, I'm not good enough. Oh, my God, I'm afraid to move forward. All of this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day I realized fear is an illusion. Literally, my jaw dropped. I had no paper, so I wrote it on the wall. It was so huge for me. I'm like, I'm not letting this insight go, because sometimes my insights come and go, and I don't write them down quickly enough. And I'm like scrambling for a pen, you know, my heart pounding, and I wrote it on the kitchen wall. And I saved that bit of wall, actually, when, you know, we refurbished whatever. And it was so significant. Significant for me. Oh my God, I felt it in every cell. Fear is an illusion, you know. So let's let go of trying to figure it all out and just expand and realize that you can trust that your inspiration exists for you. Now, I did trust in the past. I knew it, but I didn't fully trust my ability to connect with it, and that's what leads to struggle. So just allow it. And you can make what I call a pure choice, that it is so. Whatever it is, like whatever your choice is, from the most beautiful artistic expression to, you know, expressing yourself with your children. And it is so. And then the magic and the beauty appears before you. But also just remember, you're not separate from, from it. Because a lot of people think, oh, that's a nice concept. But it's not a concept. It's real. You know? I'm so passionate about this because it's, oh, my God, people are missing out. Please, 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 please. Let yourself feel that it's real. Just expand into that. Because what have we been doing all our lives? Thinking that our circumstances are real. Our identity, our name, our age, you know, what we've achieved, degrees or whatever it is. That's not who we really are. You are, in fact, separate from your circumstances. You're not your body fully. You're not your mind. You can, and when you feel the space between you and your thoughts, that's hugely empowering. And when you also realize that you are, in fact, separate from your circumstances, your negative thoughts and your circumstances are not who you really are, although it feels so rock solid sometimes. It feels like it is. But stop identifying with it and just witness it. Stop identifying with the negative thoughts, just witness them. And then you realize when you start to do this, everything loosens its grip and you realize, oh my God, fear is an illusion. Yippee-yay, I have access to this beautiful state of oneness, of beingness, of divine love, of who I really am. I mean, don't you want yourself as your own best friend? You need never feel lonely again.
That's very true. It's very, very true. It's amazingly powerful. I know it sounds very simplistic, what we're saying here, and we're making it sound easy. Because it actually can be when you get to the point of fully releasing yourself to it and allowing the process to happen. It can be very easy. And accessing that inner power of knowing that you can trust yourself and knowing that you are enough exactly as you're existing, that actually makes everything in life a little richer. At least for me, it does. Like you said, you're never really lonely because you're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm all good. I've learned to love myself, so I feel full up, and that's really the goal here, is to have you feeling full and vibrant, and not have you feeling like there's lack. Now the lack The focus on lack can actually keep the muse away, and it can
absolutely
keep the inspiration away. Because if you're like grappling for that, like, you know, if, you know, Marianne, I know you'll understand this since you're a writer. I'm a writer as well. So if the storyline is not flowing for me, and I start going into grappling and grasping for a potential storyline, trying to force it.
Oh
to happen,
God, I hate that
does
feeling.
Not happen. No, it doesn't happen, and it's. And I literally will step away. I know now that I've been writing since I was a teenager, so I know well enough now to step away and to not put time on it, and to say, okay, I'm going to walk away from this, and I know the storyline will find me when it's time. And sure enough, I will get an inspiration that will lead me back to my manuscript, and I will have a very beautiful, flowing storyline, and it'll work out beautifully. However, if I would have sat there and continued to force it, I probably could have forced out a storyline, but it wouldn't have been authentic to the story. And it would
absolutely.
It wouldn't have matched, so to speak, energetically.
And that feeling when it flows is just gorgeous. It makes you so happy.
Yes, it's a very ecstatic feeling. It's a very joyful feeling. You know, time and space don't exist. You know, time and space cease to exist when you're in that state of flow. It's quite amazing how that happens. I'm sure that's been your experience too, where it's like, what, time and space, what?
Oh my God, yeah. And everything becomes so real and vivid. Like, I can actually remember. If I can look at a painting, I have a few left from when I was very young, like 18, 19, 20. And if I look at that and close my eyes, I can actually remember, obviously, the studio I was in, the kind of day it was, the music I was listening to, everything about that moment in time, the smell of the turpentine. It's the most remarkable thing if you want to talk about presence, being creative. And by the way, we're not, I don't want to exclude anybody, people who think, oh, I'm not creative. Yes, you are. I mean, you could be knitting something, you could be cooking. You could have your own business. And that's very creative. It makes me sad when people think they're not creative. Yes, they are. By nature, it is your true nature to be creative. You are creative. Oh, God, I sound so bossy, but you are. I really do want to take a stand for you.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad you're doing that because people really underestimate their creativity.
Yeah.
It shows up in all avenues. It's not just in
Absolutely. The
container of the arts. It can show up everywhere. It can even show up in if you are presented with a challenge in your life, how you find a creative solution to that challenge.
Yes!
Yeah. That's one of my favorite ways to use creativity. Is to look at something and say, well, this would appear to be a challenge, but I'm not going to look at it that way. I'm going to look at this as a fun exercise in strengthening my creativity muscle.
Oh, that's funny. You're absolutely right. There you go with
yeah,
your choice.
Yeah, I've had to train myself into that because I used to, I mean, ages ago, I used to be the biggest worrywart, and I used to worry, and get really negative about things and really head into anxiety. It didn't serve me at all.
No, but that's the day you realize that worry really serves you in absolutely no way, shape, or form is the day that you can let go of it. You either accept it or you do something about it.
Yeah.
No point worrying.
Exactly.
I'm glad you're over it.
Me too. I live a happy life. I live a very happy life, and I have for many years now.
Wonderful.
But it's amazing how I think that's unfortunately a common epidemic in society.
Oh, God,
people really get into worry very easily. I mean, if you look at the rise in anti-anxiety medications and depression medications and whatnot. I mean, we go on and on about that. That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But people
looking
are
outside of yourself
themselves.
Again. That's looking outside of yourself for solutions. It's absolutely
exactly.
not necessary. People are so powerful.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can get to a moment of present moment awareness and space. To just accept that everything's going to be okay, even though you don't see results yet, it can start to open up your avenue. And, you know, I love your process, Marianne, and actually I did that process as you talked through it, and like you said, I felt like that real sparkly feeling. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and I think that our listeners will really enjoy that as well. I want all the listeners out there to really take in that, you know, once again, just like Marianne was really driving it home a few moments ago, that creativity is not limited to the arts. You can use creativity in every moment. And you can use that inspiration. You can open yourself up to inspiration about anything at all. Even if you're, you know, lost and, you know, the GPS on your phone isn't working and you say, how do I get from here to there? You will, if you open yourself up to the divine guidance, it will come in. But there is a level of trust that needs to be there as well. Wouldn't you agree, Marianne?
I do agree. Trust is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see it a bit differently, though, because you can kind of move and progress. Because I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, but within trust, there is, mm-hmm. it's a bit polarized. There's always an element of doubt. It's like, I hope this works. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
You can actually move beyond. Trust is huge. Don't go near hope. Hope is annoying and hope is a trap. And even trust is wonderful and faith is amazing. But you can actually move a tiny bit beyond faith into being where you actually encompass, embody, assume that which you desire or whatever it is. And then there isn't that charge, the slightly negative charge with trust. You can just realize that you can be the very thing you're asking for. You know, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for, you can be the state, even wealth. You can be wealth. It's not, oh, you know, I'm wealthy. In actual fact, you are the state of wealth itself. because you are oneness. There is no separation. I felt that when I was a child. It's not a concept. You are part of it. So you are that state. You can assume that rather than just, ooh, hope this works. But there's absolutely no point doubting. You know, if it feels light and you know it's true for you, just throw doubt out the window and be that. Slight step beyond faith. Quite powerful.
I love that. I love that, the state of being, even if it's a goal that you're trying to achieve, if you are able to access that state of being, you actually align with the decision-making properties.
And it's
you of that, you know, the you of that person that achieved that goal has access to. So you can actually access that in present moment.
Yeah.
And I've done that, and it's been amazing. It's actually, it's opened a lot of doors for me, and things have opened
up
that way. Because it's like, wow, it is quite magical. It's a really magical experience, and I do love that. And, you know, once again, this really goes back to inspiration, because I was inspired to, my inspiration was to get into my beingness and to just be. And I thought, well, do I want to be as I am in this moment, or do I want to, you know, step into the being of who that person is that achieved that goal and see how they look at life, you know, because it's a different perspective. It's really interesting.
Well, it's all to do, it all boils down to really two things, love or fear.
Yeah.
Who you really are is love, and the fear is the struggle. So be who you really are and let go of everything else.
Yes,
and if you can't let go, you know, be gentle with yourself. It might take a bit of time.
Because I think when we are putting our work out there to the world, regardless of, once again, what that looks like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a creative work of art, or if you're a musician or a dancer or, you know, a painter, or if you're an accountant, or if you're a stay-at-home mom, or if you're, you know, a factory worker, whatever it may be, there's whatever you're putting out in the world, there should be a sense of pride with it, because it's been created by you. Even though it might be in the container of a company you work for, or in, you know, the container of some other way, love what you do, love what you're putting out there, regardless of if it's a stepping stone to where you want to get to. Love all of that. That also, that creates inspiration.
Yeah, that's huge, too. The way of being. So even if, for example, you're in a job that you don't particularly like, if you choose, instead of being despondent about it or thinking, oh, God, I'll never find my life's purpose or whatever it is, if you choose to be a certain way within yourself and be present within yourself, you start to emit something. So don't judge yourself for thinking, oh, God, I'm not really contributing to society. You are, if you are in the present moment, because people around you feel it. People around you feel it, and you are actually making a difference energetically to your workspace, when you're walking down the street. I mean, it's lovely if you can smile at people, but it's not even that. It's an energetic change. So never judge yourself if you're in what you consider to be the wrong job, or, you know, that you're not doing the right thing. Just change the way you are, and you're making a huge contribution to the world.
Yes, I love that, and that's a beautiful note to end on. There's just been so many wonderful moments in this interview, Marianne. Thank you so much for being a part of our series. Wow, I mean, this is amazing. I'm so grateful to have had you on the show.
An honor. It's an honor for me to be here, Jessica. I think you're absolutely amazing. Thank you, thank you. And I know your listeners are amazing. I can feel them. Thank you so much.
Yay. They are amazing. I'm very grateful for all of them, each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marianne has been so kind as to offer a free gift for all of you, so she's going to tell you a little bit about that right now.
Yes, I would absolutely love to offer a free gift to your wonderful listeners. If they pop over to my website, which is www.letsgo.com, that's L-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D-K-N-E-T-G-A-N-D- www.thebusinessofmoms.com. And they can sign up for a month. They can sign up for free videos here. Appreciate awareness. I've great feedback about that. Watch this event. They said it's been life-changing, but they didn't do further. And also, I'd love to offer a free clarity session to anyone who's interested in, so that we can get clear on where they are now and where they desire to be, so that they can live the life they're living. So I'd love to give that gesture.
Fantastic. Well, for everyone listening, down in the description of this episode below, you will see the link to Marianne's website, so you can, and to the free gift, so you can go and access that. And I really encourage you to do so. Her work is amazing. She's amazing. I'm so grateful to have had you on the show, Marianne. Thank you for taking time out of your day to spend with us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jessica. Thank you.
Great. Well, this is Jessica Nevins, host of the Divine It Girl radio show. Have a fantastic week. Love and sparkles to all. Bye.